Bentley or something like that.
Wow.
There was a gospel track sitting at his door, and that had an impact on it. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
the word of God says it never returns to God.
It's time for praying for somebody.
But if anything's forsaken in this time, which we believe are the end times, if anything's forsaken, it's preaching. Christians just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But really, it's the power of God. It's the foolishness of preaching. It's really like spiritual dynamite. But all those other ministries and stuff are great. And just don't violate your conscience. You know, God gives you a conscience. And if you get up there and you're preaching and you don't feel it's for you, well, by all means, stop. You know? And, you know, it's good.
Mm-hmm. It's all good. And I do agree, like, with that. Like, it's obviously scripture. Like, the reality is
very exclusive.
I'm curious, like, what's your reasoning behind, like, going, like, cutting through the street and then, like, see if, like, you have a sign?
The Bible says that the law is the schoolmaster. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, in order for people to see their need for a Savior, they have to understand why the remedy is there in the first place. You see, the reason why Jesus died on the cross is because man needed redemption. And so they have to understand why they need to be redeemed before they'll see the need to turn to Christ and be saved. Does that make sense?
So that's why you would have, like, that warning instead of, like... Because, like, if I was... I don't know... I've never done it before. More experience than me. But like where my mind would be, like, I'd have like a sign that's like,
well, here's a perfect,
like, something like, it's like really bright and like, oh, Jesus loves you, but it's not cutting to the point like you guys are.
Well, think about it this way, okay? Before people, you can tell people Jesus loves them, and I would say that the scriptures specifically say that for God so loved, in past tense, the world, that he gave his only begotten son. So true love is found in Jesus Christ. But if they don't know they need Jesus and they think they're okay, when you talk to most people, like when they walk down the street, they'll say they're good. They're good people. The Bible says the opposite, that there is nothing good, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if we walk around with our own self-righteousness and we think that we're good, then we have no reason to need Jesus. Like, what do we need him for? Right? Yeah. So you could offer people Jesus all the time. But I would venture to say this. If you just got up on that pulpit right there and you told people Jesus saves over and over again, you wouldn't be violating anything because it's true. If you tell people that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, I wouldn't have any problem with that. Guarantee you, you'll make enough people mad doing that. I've done it. I spent one time, Paul's my witness, I stood there one time. This was years ago. Remember that?
I just preached the love of God
and Jesus, and I had people cussing me out. They wanted to kill me. They hated me.
Preaching it. It's not like a one-on-one witness. They would have received it maybe with a one-on-one. But God resists the proud. God is not mocked. God will, if somebody has pride in their heart or whatever, God will resist that person. He'll give his grace to the humble. And when somebody's standing there preaching, sometimes people rise up against that. It hurts their pride. I don't know what it is, but they just
it's a witness.
They don't like preachers. But a lot of people do. Not everyone. A lot of people say amen.
And people that are saved, some people will tell us, you know, they couldn't see themselves doing it, but they support what we're doing. You know what I mean? There's people like that too. And, you know, so I think that what the scripture says, the Bible does call it, it's the foolishness of preaching that saves them to believe, right? So to the world, it's foolishness. They look at it like, why are you standing there? Why are you doing that, right? It's foolish to them.
You really think this works?
But the Bible says that it would be foolish, you know what I mean? It says that it would be to the world. Yeah. And God says he confounds the wise.
Totally.
Yeah. He does.
The wisdom of God is foolishness.
That's right.
Yeah. That's got the great commission where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we give them the law so we can give them grace. Yeah. Right? Sure. So we can tell them of the grace of God. Yeah. But they have to know they need it first.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't know you need it and you think you're okay, it's like, have you ever met somebody that struggles with like drug addiction or something like that, but they don't know, they haven't hit rock bottom yet, so they think they're okay? Like, you could sit there till you're blue in the face explaining to them their condition and how bad they are if they're an alcoholic or a drug addict. I've been a drug addict, I know. So you know what I mean, you can explain to them that and they look at you like, I'm not that bad, what's your guys's problem? I can manage it, I'm okay. That's how sinners are with sin. We think we can handle it. Yeah. We think we're okay. Yeah. And we have to know from God that we're not. We have to know from God's word that we're not okay, that we're wrong, that we're dead in trespasses and sins. And without Christ, we can't do anything.
Yep.
Right? But we have to know our need first. Until that drug addict knows his need, until that comes, there's no hope for us until we realize that we need it. Remember, they always say you have to hit rock bottom, people.
Yeah.
And they do, for the most part, have to in their own minds, That's different for everybody, that rock bottom is.
Yeah.
But you have to hit that in order to understand how great of a need you have.
Yeah.
And that's what the law does. The Bible says the law is a schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. Yeah. So the law brings you to the feet of Jesus, sits you down, and shows you your need for him.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said, use the law of God lawfully in this day and age. Like, it's not, we don't tell people, you got to keep the law
to be saved. Right.
That's unlawful.
Yeah. Right.
But we use it lawfully as a schoolmaster to convince people that they have sin.
Right. The Bible says that every mouth may be stopped and then all the world may become guilty before God.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of the law. That's what it does. And it's hard because, you know what? People, they don't want to hear that they're wrong. None of us like to find out that we're wrong about something. I mean, look, I don't know anybody that if they really knew that they were wrong about something, they'd continue to do that.
Yeah.
If you can convince a man that he's wrong about something, generally speaking, for the most part, if they're true people, they're going to want to be right about it. They're going to be like, well, man, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this wrong, right? I don't want to do something wrong.
Yeah.
Well, when the Holy Ghost, through the Word of God preached, shows men that they're wrong,
that's when they
will embrace Christ. And that's when you can point them to Christ. I've had people that, for many years, they were self-righteous and they couldn't be saved, right? They just, because they're self-right, they held on to their own self-righteousness. Then they came to a point. Scott's one of those people right there. He came to our church for 2 years, was it?
Yeah.
Before you were saved?
Actually,
okay, yeah. So he came for about a year, and finally he came to a point where he said he knew that he was guilty. He finally understood that he was guilty and that he needed to be saved. And then I didn't pour it on him then and be like, I don't think you're groveling enough. No, I'm going to hit you with the law again and tell you how wicked you are. No, I didn't do that. He was humble and he was broken before God. And he said, you know what? I know I'm guilty before God. And God showed me this. And I said, well, now you need to turn to Christ.
Yeah.
And you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
Yeah.
That's God's promise. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of it. And here's what happens. The Bible says the sower goes forth to sow and he spreads the seed everywhere, right? So he spreads the seed by the wayside, right? So this type of evangelism is spreading the seed everywhere.
Yeah.
It goes on the wayside, it goes to the stony ground, it goes to the thorny ground, and it goes to the good ground. We don't know where. We're just told to cast the seed everywhere and spread it. To some men, it'll be bad ground. Now, Christ can make any ground good, though.
Yeah.
We believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christ can make any ground good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But sometimes it'll go to bad ground. Like you said, how long, like how do we know how that really affects? Well, the Bible tells you if you read the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
It tells you that some men will get that in their heart. They'll walk away and think about that for a day or two, right?
Yeah.
But then Satan, then the cares of this life and the fowls of the air, the Bible says, come in and snatch the word out of their heart. And it's gone. They're done. for that time. They don't care about it, right? Mm. But other men, it says that it falls on good ground. And then it produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We just got to be obedient.
That's good.
Okay? Cool. So that's why we do what we do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad you asked. Yeah. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, you guys come back to Northfield.
We're heading back home. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Yep. We've got about an hour then, right?
Yeah. Well, we're heading back now. Yeah, we're getting out of here.
Nice meeting you. Take care, guys. You're Paul.
That's Paul. Yep.
You are
Joshua.
I'm Jason. Yep.
Jason.
Yep.
Joel.
Yeah.
Like Joel Osteen.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe a little different.
The Old Testament prop.
Joel, the Old Testament prop.
You guys ready? We got to go.